On this Memorial Day, I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness Show, 681 in our original It's Your Business series, and it is indeed live. Well, not everybody in the show is live, because some people wanted the day off, but I wanted their information, and a good reporter always has those stories ready. Who's in the show today? South Dakota Director of Ag Development, Paul Kosboth, updates us on the push to entice the California dairies to take a real look at the benefits of South Dakota, particularly with the dry conditions they're having there right now and can't grow crops or can't take care of their own livestock. Steve Watson, Business Development Director for the Governor's Office of Economic Development, and one Mr. Rock Nelson, Director of South Dakota's International Trade Center, will outline what South Dakota is getting from the third trip to China that talked It's Your Business in maybe three or four languages. On this Memorial Day, we'll talk to a 22-year-old student who was told his project was great, but I forgot to tell you the dimensions for the state competition. Well, guess what? His incoming bald eagle has made it to the sculpture walk in Sioux Falls, 11th in Maine, and we'll talk with Zachary. Rocky Boer, Plains Commerce Bank, has words for our veterans, town and country. The Starks, only one of them's here. You can guess which one showed up this morning. And he'll talk to us about what's fit for coverage with our veterans and what they're hearing out in the fields all across the Midwest today and 365 days a year. And Scott Verilek, Coima Kamig, is visiting out in South Dakota rather than in Sioux Center, Iowa today. We're going to give you an unusual number about commodities since the first of the year. But let's get started with Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. Rick, it may be a holiday, but you're working.
What's a holiday? Tell me a story. No. It's a good day to be up and going. Any day is. I look at it that way. So you guys are holding down the fort. Glad to see that, either live or recorded, huh?
Well, most of it is live, but, you know, Memorial Day, you know, is a little different. But the 4th of July, we always hear the knee-high standards. But should we update our audience where planning is moving ahead and what it should be for Memorial Day?
Yeah, we'll kind of look at two things. Planning emergence, I like to, too, which last week was 18%. Don't have the numbers there yet for this week. They should be available tomorrow. They're usually out on Monday afternoon, of course, this with the holiday. But we look at the 18 producing states, and focusing particularly here in the Midwest, we do see some planting numbers that are just out. Found these this morning. 73% of the corn now planted in South Dakota, and that would be a jump for the week before, not as big an increase as the week before that. Over in Minnesota, 53% is in the ground. Iowa has 84%, 91% down in Nebraska. So, of course, as you go south and southeast, you're really running into a crop that's just about in where it's going to be. Here in the eastern part of the Corn Belt where I live, or just a little bit to the north of it, things still running slow, only about 27% in Michigan in the latest figure. So we're running behind, and you take a look at the growing degree day numbers, and that'll also really be showing up in the emergence figures, which have been lagging. So the growing degree numbers, and been slipping a little bit in eastern South Dakota over the last week or so, down to just about average, to between 50 and 100 below normal. That's for the period the 1st of March through about the 17th of May. So that will be figuring into things right now. Planting into the home stretch, though, in the central Corn Belt, moving fast out in the east.
House agriculture spending bill, something we should know?
Yeah, right now, two big takeaways from it: over $20.5 billion for agriculture, things like the Food and Drug Administration, and $100 million in disaster relief spending. Markup last week, they're looking for a full vote on the package sometime in June, maybe about the second week in June is the average call on that.
Opt-out, school lunches, made a lot of news in the last 7 to 10 days.
Sure thing. And that is one of the big parts of the Farm Bill, or the Farm Appropriations Bill. We should say old ideas die hard. We're going back to the Farm Bill again. No, we're the Ag Appropriations Bill that has caused a lot of ill will and hard feelings there. The provision granting waivers to rules under the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act drew opposition from a few Democrats earlier on. And that will come up for a vote also next month when the whole package is either approved or rejected. School nutrition workers are saying rising costs and there's just a lot of food waste. Kids don't like it, in other words. Produce growers and child advocacy groups say the School Nutrition Association is getting money from, well, sources like processed food makers and Faber's frozen pizza and chicken nuggets. And then on the other side, we had last week some calls from gentlemen in the military, an admiral, as a matter of fact, saying that he supports the concept of healthy foods, healthy kids, because they're seeing a lot of folks that they have to reject at military sign-up time because they're just not too fit. We've got to do something about the obesity situation. So there's the debate there.
Well, let's salute that admiral, and let's salute you, Rick Shields. You're on duty this morning. We appreciate that, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. You have a great day.
Bill, you also.
Rocky Bohr is the Vice President of Ag at Plains Commerce Bank. Rocky, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill. You can probably hear the music in the background. I'm up here at the VA for their annual service up here.
Well, and we had Jeffy on with us just a few minutes ago, and we talked a little bit about the importance of that, but you're splitting your duties today with family, caring Americans. Tell us why that's so important.
Well, it's important because I gave a large portion of my life to service in this country in the military, and it's a special time for me and family to give back to this country for the goodness it's showered on us. So.
Plains Commerce is known for both the town and country. You're well-known across South Dakota. And we've talked about coverage. We've talked about services that puts Plains Commerce really on a pedestal in the rural area and two locations here in Sioux Falls. How's the best way for people to learn more about Plains Commerce?
Sure. They can find us at plainscommerce.com or they can contact me, Bill, at 605-275-2467.
Rocky, most asked question you're getting right now from those in ag.
Right now is back on the marketing. What should they be looking at trying to do? We've had some nice rallies in the market, especially in the area of soybeans, so people are taking advantage of those rallies. And also getting to ask questions on where they should go in the corn market. Those are probably the biggest questions asked about right now.
Rocky Bohr, Plains Commerce Bank, how do they reach you?
Again, they can catch me at 605-275-2467.
Well, we got you off by 10:15. You go and thank those that are a part of the ceremony, those that gave their lives, their families, and all of those that do so much for us here in this country. Rocky?
Well, thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Welcoming Rock Nelson, director of South Dakota's International Trade Center and special correspondent for It's Your Agribusiness, and Steve Watson, director of business development, the governor's office of economic development, right here in South Dakota. Gentlemen, thanks to have you both with us on this Memorial Day.
We appreciate being here, and we're glad that we can be of service to the state and our region.
You know, when we talk about Memorial Day, it's a day that our soldiers, our families have kind of shared their blood at times. They've shared their lives, unfortunately, to make sure that our country could be strong, could be able to do the things that we do. And we want to touch a little bit this morning, Rock, Steve, about the trip you're back from China with. Later in the show, we'll be talking with the development director for Secretary Lucas Lynch about the dairy side of it. But when we start talking about this trip, this has a long history, and we'll get to that with Rock in a minute. But as you think about the trip that you made, the time zones you went across, the people you saw, and maybe a sister-to-sister attitude that we're seeing with South Dakota and China, what sticks out most to you, Steve?
You know, South Dakota has an opportunity to compete, okay? China is the second largest economy in the world. It's the largest, most populated country in the world. They have a growing middle class. That middle class is looking for American services and products. They expect quality. American companies will sell into China. They're already doing it. And I think that South Dakota can have a bigger slice of that pie. And that's what we're trying to do with our trade missions.
You know, people are saying about this trip that the South Dakota being rural, $21 billion in ag, that Lucas tells us all the time that's important. But we're a lot like China in some of the ways of what we do, and we try to help people, and we do have a lot of the middle class that enjoy the benefits of agriculture.
That's correct. In fact, you know, this last trade mission to China was interesting. You mentioned earlier that we were exploring the prospect of a sister state, a sister province relationship. By invitation, the governor and a number of state delegates went to Inner Mongolia. And Inner Mongolia is very similar to South Dakota with respect to climate and their economy. They're very much an ag-based province. They're, by China standards, not very, you know, populous. And we found that we had a lot of synergies with Inner Mongolia. And so we're hoping that we can further that relationship with them. And we're talking with them about, you know, student exchange. We're talking with them about business-to-business relationships. I think there's a lot of opportunity to be had in Inner Mongolia and the more rural parts of China.
Rock, you were kind of sharing with me that this has a Dakota feel to it. The first one that was made goes back to a governor named Mickelson long before I was in South Dakota.
That is correct. Governor George Mickelson was greatly excited about taking part in world international trade activities, and he conducted a couple of trade missions to foreign countries in South America. And then his untimely death led to a dissolution of international trade within the state. And my colleague, Cinnamon King of the U.S. Department of Commerce, and myself picked up that slack many years ago, like 15, 16 years ago, and work with companies. We get in the trenches when they have issues, questions, whatever. Also work with Ty Eschenbaum out of South Dakota Department of Ag on the ag-related products.
Well, last week we shared Raven. They had a great story in Europe. They want to come back on and talk about additional projects that they're doing. And people sometimes realize, well, this is just little old South Dakota, less than a million people. They what are they doing on the world stage, and why are we there?
What happened is when Governor Dugard was lieutenant governor, he became quite good friends with the then lieutenant governor of North Dakota, Governor Dalrymple. And they both successfully attained governorships in the respective states. And North Dakota happens to be a step or two ahead of South Dakota in regards to international trade. And Governor Dalrymple invited our governor 2 years ago to go on a China trade mission that North Dakota was sponsoring. And Governor Dugard was permitted to take, I believe, a couple businesses with him, as well as individuals from state government of South Dakota to go on this trip. And Governor Dalrymple taught him the do's and don'ts and introduced him to foreign dignitaries in China. And since then, our governor, through his foresight and magnitude and energy, has taken it upon himself to take the lead and visit China two more times extensively, bringing a lot more businesses with him to try and strike business deals.
Bill, I think it's important for your listeners to also know that you don't have to be a Raven or a Daktronics to compete to sell products into China. In fact, the majority of the businesses that we've taken to China to date are small businesses. I mean, 5-6 employees or more. So, you know, whether you're an ag-based equipment manufacturer in Huron or you're a food processor in Sioux Falls, there's an opportunity to sell into China. They have an enormous need for all types of different products.
And I totally agree with Steve on that. And in regards to ag-related manufacturing companies as well as value-added ag companies, they export all over the world. It's not just China-based.
So what's next? We've been to China 3 or 4 times. Are there other stages we should be playing on?
Well, Governor Dugard has been very specific about focusing our efforts on China. We think that's where we're going to get our biggest bang for our buck. But through the International Trade Center and a number of other partners that Rock mentioned earlier, we're working with companies to export anywhere across the country. Very likely that we'll go back to China. We've had very positive results the last three trade missions. So if there's companies that are interested in learning more about participating in a future trade mission to China, they can contact the South Dakota Governor's Office of Economic Development. But any type of exporting, we're encouraging through the International Trade Center and other resource partners.
You know, as we look at this, you saw all kinds of headlines in the last week that were Americans and Chinese fighting with each other. At the same time, we're hearing about South Dakota there talking about feeding the middle class. And there's more of the middle class in bodies there than we have in a good part of the world put together.
And I have to totally agree with you in regards to the middle class. They like U.S. American quality, quality-made products.
And they like South Dakota.
That's correct. And thanks to Governor Dugard and his entourage, he's putting us on the world map. And it's important to know that not only China, but China especially, appreciates the farm-to-fork rules and regulations that our U.S. Department of Agriculture and our FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, have established. They feel safe, they feel confident of the quality, and are assured that they aren't going to be ingesting foreign products that aren't meant for the human consumption as well as animal consumption, whether it's animal feed being shipped over there.
Steve Watson, Director of Business Development, Governor's Office of Economic Development, and Rock Nelson, Director of South Dakota's International Trade Center. We appreciate you taking time on this Memorial Day to kind of share the importance of this in agriculture in South Dakota, and knowing that there are a lot of people with what we have in South Dakota that would like to be partners, which is a nice feel with all that we have to celebrate and to say thank you for on this holiday.
Thank you so much for having us, and we look forward to participating with you again in the future.
Thanks, Bill.
Travis and Roger Starks, Hope McDowell, sponsors of the iGrow.org, are with us as they are each Monday. Well, one is with us. One is at Lake Ponset and passing the torch to the other. Guess which one is here?
Yeah, you got the good-looking one today. We allowed Roger to, you know, since he is a veteran, he went up to Lake Ponset to kind of get away for a little bit and recharge his batteries, which, you know, it's one of those things. Memorial Day. One of the things that we wanted to say is we wanted to thank all the veterans for all the sacrifice them and their family have really you know, had to do to give us the freedoms and everything that we enjoy today. So it's a good time to sit back and take a couple minutes to remember those guys and what they've done for us.
Last week we were talking about who could be in the show, and we talked, well, we could have these veteran farmers that are in the show, but you were sending me little texting back and forth, and I don't think Roger would have sent me a text, but you would.
Right, absolutely. Roger's one of those that he'll just keep calling until you pick up the phone. He might even actually call a landline if they still exist. Yeah, he's one of those guys. But, yeah, we did reach out to quite a few of our clients. A lot of those guys are ex-military, and, you know, if they're busy working on the farm or if they're, you know, busy camping out with the family. I mean, that's one of those things those guys deserve.
You know, that's a job, too, with the family. Oh, having that precious time.
Absolutely.
I hope you're taking time for your family.
Yeah, we're going to go out hiking today, so we'll see how long mom and dad last here. We got a 3- and a 5-year-old, so it might be more than we can handle.
You've been on the road. You've been making lots of stops. What are the kind of questions that our ag community are asking?
Well, and, you know, I'm not used to getting this much airtime. Usually sitting next to Roger, you know, I get to give my name. That's about it. But one of those things, we've been out on the road quite a bit, you know, North Dakota to Kansas, Colorado to Wisconsin, and, you know, we're really coming into the idea of more of a risk management. And, you know, we've got traditional insurance, and we talk that when it's appropriate, but we try and implement it into an entire risk management portfolio for you and your operation. One of the things that we were dealing with down in Nebraska, the EPA has come in, and they're really putting the hammer on anybody who has oil or some kind of refined fuels on their facility, and they have certain rules, these SPCC, spill prevention and countermeasure. Well, the EPA has come in and they've really started hitting a lot of these cooperatives, private entities, and farmers who do fall under that provision, they've been hitting them with fines if they don't have the proper countermeasure put into place. This most recent facility that we went down to and walked through on an audit, we actually got a chance to talk to the inspector from the EPA, and we got a lot of great information from him. What we're finding out is a lot of contractors come in, and for these spill and countermeasures, they're overbuilding the facilities. They're not necessary. I mean, they're building them so that they're within the SPCC rules. Unfortunately, they're overbuilding them, and to the tune of maybe 20 to 25% of additional cost to that client. So what we've done is we've spent some time with the EPA, and we are working on developing a webinar that we're going to have through Howell University, where we're going to allow people to call in and listen to the EPA on their education side as it relates to the spill and countermeasure provisions that they have. So we want to give everybody an opportunity to listen and ask questions and, you know, remain somewhat anonymous. We don't want somebody coming in from a co-op with their name on the side and they start asking all these questions of the EPA guy as he's making a mental note, well, we might have to come out and see you guys next.
You mentioned Howell University. We had Sean Cable with us last week from KSFY talking about what farmers want from their meteorologist. Yes. You guys were passing along some pretty good ideas.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, I mean, they go out and they need to try and plan, you know, if it's not, you know, that year, years in advance. And they want to have an idea of what the climate's going to do and what, you know, what will support what crops they want to put into the ground. Whether they want to, you know, we're seeing up in North Dakota because of the wet spring and the cold weather, you're not seeing a whole lot of corn up there anymore. You're seeing granola, which is traditional way up north in North Dakota, move its way south a little bit. So, you know, that's one of the things that these guys, they need that information. It's amazing the amount of information that they take in, and they truly need to use it because they're investing a lot of money every year in planting.
Travis Starks, Holt McDowell, sponsors the iGrow.org. Our guests, as they fly the Batmobile. Batmobile, by the way, got the day off today.
Up in Lake Ponset right now.
It's in Ponset right now. Contact information to reach you guys.
You know what? You can give myself, Travis, or Roger a call, 605-339-3874. You can look us up on HowellMcDowell.com. You'll be able to find information regarding our risk management center, which is key to your operation, but then also the Howell University and some of those classes that we've got set up in the future.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a copy of your tape today, and we're going to have Roger and Ann listen to how well you did, and we'll try to appropriate you more time next week.
I'm sure he'll want to superimpose his voice in there somewhere.
I think so, too. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, guys.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit with Advanta Mortgage about if you call in, what would you get today if you needed to find a home? I think you'll be surprised. Plus, Paul Kosboth will join us as well from Pier. Come. Well, in our Monday Ag Show, about 10:30, we always check for the morning loan snapshot of the day. Generally, we talk with Craig Markhart, the senior loan officer at Advanta, or Jim Lowe, or one of the loan originators. Today being a holiday, thought we could find out if it is, as they say, 18-7. Call us, we'll check and let you find out what it might take to get into a home. After all, most financial institutions closed on Monday and will not reopen until Tuesday, so it's been a long weekend. Advanta Mortgage tells us they keep one of their mortgage bankers available. Let's check it out. Sean, are you the mortgage banker today?
Yes, I am, Bill. How you doing?
Fine. Let's check out the 18-7, the Advanta Mortgage line. If I were a buyer calling you for information on this holiday, and I found a house in the 150 range and wanted to know what my payments would be after giving you some information, what could you tell me?
Well, we'd have to discuss your situation, and we would be taking our rates off of Friday's rate sheet. Obviously, nothing's open today, and the markets aren't open, so we'd be pricing our loans off of Friday's rate sheet, and we'd be able to discuss what your principal and interest payment would be and possibly be able to even look up your taxes for you so we can give a dial in that payment for you.
So being able to reach an on-call banker after hours with housing supplies being down, as we've heard for the last 6-8 months, it seemed to me to be a real advantage if you found that home and you're afraid someone else is going to put in an offer before you do.
It most certainly is, Bill. We've had several people call after hours, Saturdays and Sundays, and need to get a letter sent over to a realtor so they can make an offer on a home, and we were able to do that for them.
All right. So what number would they call, Sean, if they were buying or needed some information for you to take care of before the doors of everybody else opens on Tuesday morning?
Well, you can call the office at 605-275-2777. You hit a couple prompts, and it'll take you right to the on-call banker.
Okay, and you are going to spend time with your family this weekend,
yeah,
too, right?
I've been doing that today and all weekend, actually. So.
Well, you're a good soldier. You're a good person for Advanta Mortgage, and we know that you have the information that people need, and don't feel like you're alone out there. If the family has been there and you needed to go out and look at a house just to get away from them for a little bit, you can give them that information. That never happens, does it, Sean?
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
Again, how do they reach you?
605-275-2777, or they can go online at advantamortgage.com.
Sean, the on-call banker in Advanta Mortgage. Mortgage bankers you can count on.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Paul Koshboth is the director of Ag Development. He was one of those that made the trip to China. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
There's a lot to talk about that trip, and we've talked a little bit in the show about it, but dairy is what I want to zero in on. We had your boss, Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch, and the governor that made a trip to California. They also made a trip to China, and in general, dairy has been pretty much high on the agenda. You got people that would like to relocate to South Dakota. You got people that want our products.
Absolutely, Bill. And as you mentioned, dairy has been one of our primary focuses here for a number of years. There is such an opportunity in the industry in South Dakota with the fortunate opportunities we have with the processors here in the state. And the demand in the unprecedented growth that they're seeing for their products and byproducts, we have the ability to double our herd here in South Dakota in dairy and still only be producing a percentage of what the processor's current capacity is, and their growth plans, which are ongoing. Many of the plants that are here in the state or nearby have some very significant growth plans in the future, and to support that, that takes more cows. And we've got the land, we've got the quality feed, and we've got the water, and all the other things that that the dairy industry needs and wants. So it's a great fit. It's a great time for us to continue to grow this industry.
It's a big difference, east and west. You got the west out there not really showing the love to the dairy herds, and they're feeling that here. South Dakota needs it for the demand that's on the world table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the dairymen that we talk to when we're out in California at the World Ag Expo, you know, their regulations out there in terms of what it takes for them to even get permitted and what the costs are, if they can even get through that hurdle, you know, that's the first major step. We talked to a dairyman out there this year. It said it took him, it was between 6 and 7 years just to get all of the permitting done so that he could build his dairy. And then when they do get their dairies built, they have a hard time finding the water they need, and it's getting tougher all the time for them to get the feed. They're losing a lot of acres to the nut tree growth out there in California. So more and more all the time of their feed is coming from right here in the Midwest anyway. And so they're recognizing that what makes more sense is to have the cows where the feed is at and where they're welcome.
On the China trip, what in essence is being reported is that China wants to feed its growing middle class with dairy byproducts, such as powdered whey, infant formula, dairy beverages, and you even saw a factory there that was doing some chocolate.
We did, and it was really neat to be able to tour that facility and see right there one of the byproducts from Valley Queen Cheese and Milbank being used in their processes. So there we are over in China and seeing firsthand some of the opportunities that are out there for the cheese processors and all of their byproducts worldwide and the demand that's there. And this is the second year that I've had the opportunity to join on the trade mission with the governor. And Every time we hear consistently, no matter who we're talking to over there, when they think South Dakota and the Midwest of the United States, they think quality, and that's what they want. And as their middle class grows, that's what they demand, is more and more quality and safe products.
Paul Kosboth, Director of Ag Development here in the state of South Dakota. Looks to me, from what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, what I've heard from you guys at the Ag Department, is that China's really looking for a sister-sister relationship between China and South Dakota.
They are, absolutely. We consistently see over there that it's about relationships. They want somebody to work with that they can trust. And again, obtain the quality products, and that's what they think when they talk South Dakota. And that's exciting to see that around the world we're recognized as the leaders in the production of quality products.
Not only dairy, but beef and soybeans, high demand as well?
Absolutely. Pretty much anything that we produce, there is a demand for over there.
And one of the projections that was being made by Valley Queen was that within a year they'll be doing some business with more business with those in China.
I think there's tremendous opportunity there for that to happen. I think they're absolutely right from what I saw when we were over there.
Paul Kosboth, Director of Ag Development right here in South Dakota. You're a traveling man. You get to go to California. You get to go to China. Where's your next trip?
You know, I believe, Bill, the bulk of my next trips are going to be right here at home around South Dakota and where I love to be, and working with the local producers and processors to continue our efforts in promoting the state.
In your travels, you're always welcome on It's Your Agribusiness. Thanks, Paul.
I appreciate it, Bill. Always enjoy the time. Thank you.
Commodity Reports at 11:30 Monday through Friday right here on Kello. News Talk 1320, 107.9, of course, with the Memorial holiday. The markets are closed today. But Scott has left the friendly confines of Sioux Center. He's on the road with family in South Dakota. Scott, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Bill.
Where are you this morning?
Well, I'm out at my folks' place. I'll be south of Geddes, South Dakota, on the Missouri River. Driving around old Chevy pickup, checking cows, and doing some walleye fishing, and just having a lot of fun. Ended up with 6 catfish instead of walleye, but hey, I guess we'll call that a win.
There you go. And your farm over there with the family is kind of famous in South Dakota. Tell us about it.
Yeah, my grandfather, L. Vern, started raising Angus cattle in the 50s is when he had his first sale. And we're over 60 straight bull sales. This year was our 62nd annual bull sale, and we're very proud of our heritage. And I think we're gonna, you know, have a lot of more good years ahead. I got some nephews on the ground and my son, so definitely something the family loves to do.
You know, we talk about passing the torch, and we talked about it with the veterans this morning. We've talked service clubs. We've talked farmers. Sounds like your family is doing that very well.
Yeah, just so thankful what we have. You know, it's we've got a good firm foundation here, and just so thankful that the vets, you know, have given us this opportunity to do this and then live free. And it's just something you don't really think about, you know, day to day until, you know, you sit back and think about Memorial Day today and how thankful you really are and just the whole scheme of things, and it's just, it's truly amazing.
Scott Verlich, Coima K-Mig, I have to tell you, you have made people think I know a lot about commodities. Mark Wigleitner out in Hartford stopped me in the grocery store and said, how did you get so much information about commodities? And I said, it's Scott.
Well, that's good. That's what we're here for, Bill. So, you know, even Coima and K-Mig's been around for about 30 years as well, so get good backing there. A lot of good info for you, Bill.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I know our listeners do as well. The one note that you'd sent me this morning was that all commodity prices are up since the first of the year. Is that something that happens every year, or why is 2014 different?
Definitely not something that happens every year, but it's just something that I've been noting, and I'm trying to wrap my head around why. I mean, we've got the grains at right, and it was right at the first of the year. It's obviously some funds that are jumping in and deciding that it's okay to own some of these commodities. You got corn and wheat both up 50 cents on the year so far. And then everything is off their highs, too. I mean, that's just what they're up right now. Soybeans, new crop soybeans up $1.50 from the first of the year. Cattle, $10 to $15 a hundred. Feeder cattle, $25 a hundred. And the hogs up $30 a hundred. I mean, we've had some issues to also rally those markets on, but I'm trying to lean toward, you know, I listened to an economist yesterday talk about the VIX, you know, the number that traders look towards, you know, how nervous they are of the market. And that number is extremely, you know, well, I think our economy is in decent shape right now. We're kind of getting out of the hole a little bit. I think they're feeling more comfortable owning some of these commodities, and the world demand is good as well. Looking ahead at all that stuff, it just the future of agriculture just looks extremely bright to me.
We got John Michaels in the studio this morning. He has introduced me to another initial, PEDs. He is one of these that follows that with the news around Kello all the time. And I know if I don't ask you about PEDs, I'm going to have heck to pay after the show.
Yeah, I've kind of got that noted, you know, in case we had time to talk about things looking ahead, and PED is definitely the talk of the pork industry. How big is it? You know, we're raising our hogs right now. You know, the weights, slaughter weights are up, so we're making up some of the hole that way, but is this something that, you know, once we hit the fall and winter, is it just going to come right back? I mean, it's kind of a big question mark, and I think these prices are going to have to stay higher until we, you know, figure out how much of a long-term impact this is going to have. I see the short-term holes here, but I'm a little bit more curious on long-term, how this is going to continue to affect us. Are we going to find some vaccines that are going to work, or are we just going to be continuing to fight this problem?
I have to tell you, it impacts the consumer, too, because you go to the grocery store and wonder if you're going to find real pork bacon. And when I found it, I grabbed it and said, oh, I can still get it. It still goes well with my bacon, tomato, and cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I think I don't think you'll have any problem finding that anymore. I mean, if you want to find a problem, I think you just put a bunch of farmers in charge, or you want to solve a problem. I think they'll get it done. I've got all the confidence in the world that they can figure that out. So.
All right. You will be back from your road trip, back in the office. And if people need information about commodities or any of the topics we've talked about, do you have a website, phone number they can reach at?
Yeah, I think the best way, you know, Coima and Kamek is a hard name to spell. A lot of numbers or letters in there. And I think if you just go to Google and you can Google brokers in Sioux Center, Iowa, you'll find us on there.
Well, and I think they have passed the torch really well, whether it's Bulls or Coima Kamig. You do a great job with that. And, Scott, we look forward to visiting with you a little bit later in the week. Enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day with your family.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
On this Memorial Day, Zach Schlag has joined us. And his story with the Sioux Falls Sculpture Walk is one that really intrigued me and is perfect for this holiday. It involves an eagle, it involves the country, and the fact that he was the winner of a contest and then disqualified, and then he was accepted into the sculpture walk. Not bad for a young man of 20. Zach, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, as I understand it, you had entered a contest through Sioux Falls Career and Technical Education Academy. And you actually had won the contest, but they said that your entry didn't meet the specifications. It was too big. And instead of winning, you were disqualified. And then eventually, you're now a part of the sculpture walk at 11th and Main.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
So, eagle incoming. We want to think patriotic on this holiday. Make us feel like it's something that we should go see as just a part of this this special day.
Well, I really thought about the country when I was doing this, and I don't know, it was kind of patriotic more. I kind of really like the look of the eagle, so it's one of my favorite animals, one of my favorite birds, so I was pretty interested in doing it. And I don't know.
Well, it's kind of something that you want to do, and you were telling me it took about 150 hours to do this eagle. the fact that your mailing address is actually Hartford. You graduated through Roosevelt. The fact that you now have a real desire to do more sculpture work, and that the company you work with, an iron company here in Sioux Falls, kind of likes what you're doing, and you've become an inspiration to all of us.
I'm actually thinking about keep going with the sculptures in my free time and see where it leads me, help me go through college with it. So,
you know, you had to be a determined young man to have created the sculpture that you did with the eagle, the bald eagle, the eagle incoming, and then to be told, no, that it didn't match what it was supposed to. But you had to feel like you got a second chance when Jim Clark in the Sculpture Walk said, we'd like to have you in our Sculpture Walk with 50-some entries in 2014.
Yeah, it definitely encouraged me after that. I was actually really proud of it. At first, I was discouraged because I got disqualified, and then later on, I tried to decide to enter it in, and I got accepted, so I was pretty excited when that happened.
Well, and we're very proud of you and the fact that you thought about the country. You didn't take no for an answer. Tells me you're a pretty good American right there. And you're actually headed to go to school this fall out in the west part of the state.
I still have to go to school of mines, yep.
And your curriculum is going to be engineering, right?
Yep, mechanical.
All right, so what are you going to do after the Eagle? I know that in talking with the Hartford Chamber people out there, the fact that you even had any tie to Hartford, they're like, gee, we'd like to have an Eagle. I'll bet there are others in this country that might like to do the same with what you've just started.
Well, I just really like the wildlife, so I've decided making other animals also. I might try to do another Eagle sometime and see where that goes from there.
All right, so if some of these organizations would like to contact you, Zach, is there a number they can call? You know, you're a young man that really figured out a way to put the country out there in front of you for all of us to see, for you to just show that you don't take no for an answer, you find a way to do it, kind of the American way. How do they reach you?
Oh, they can reach me by my phone number. They can call me at 605-929-2842, and that's fine by me. If they want to contact me and see if they wanted me to make one for them, I'd be happy to.
Eagle Incoming is the name of it, 11th and Main, and it's a 20-year-old from right here in the Sioux Falls, Hartford area. We congratulate you on what you've done, and we hope people on this Memorial Day will go look at 11th and Main. Zach, congratulations for your hard work.
Thank you, Bill.
Interesting young man to talk to, John, and we were doing that interview on Friday, and, you know, there are a lot of people saying, oh, that would work. The American Legion that were in here this morning said, gee, I wish we would have somebody do an Eagle for us. You mentioned another project you thought would make some sense.
Well, you know, they stole that Civil War soldier they used to have on the cannon up at Lions Park. And there's a long story about that. The city, you know, maybe they said they scrapped it for funds for a picnic and all that kind of thing. But I think somebody, you know, should make another Civil War soldier statue that we can put back up there by the Civil War cannon.
Well, and it's nice to hear a young man like Zachary this morning. And again, his 929-2842 is his number. If you have an interest in a sculpture of an eagle, what better in this country on Memorial Day? One last stop is John at Valentino's, 41st and Willow. John, good morning again.
Yes, good morning again. That's a lovely day in the neighborhood.
Well, another John wants to make a request this morning with your salad bar. You wouldn't get this out of me, but John said that he had a question.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to make a red, white, and blue salad, you probably got, salad, you know, the lettuce would be, you could say white. You can say radishes are blue, I mean red. What could you get to make it blue?
That's a good question. We got black olives, but no blue olives. That's a tough one. I'm going to have to figure that one out, because usually when you do that kind of stuff, you got to use Jell-O, you know.
You can do
that. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I would eat the Jell-O. Jell-O cubes is what my son always says I deserve. So
okay, well, I'll work on that for you, Bill.
Okay. It is Senior Monday, and it is Veterans Monday.
It sure is. We're both get 10% off here on the buffet all day at Valentino's. And you come in and enjoy some of our fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, our baked lasagna, our fettuccine Alfredo, of course, our eight varieties of pizzas. I would suggest the bacon cheeseburger, of course. And can't forget about the salad bar. We make about everything on there right here. So our customers always tell us we got the freshest in town.
Well, we know that people have had a lot of barbecues this weekend. They've had a lot of family time. If you're getting a little tired of the family and you want to give them, about 360 choices for lunch?
Pretty much.
I don't know where that number came from, but it made sense to me. Valentino's is at 41st and Willow. If you're a senior today, you get a 10% off. Veterans get a chance to have it off, and you got the fried chicken, the lasagna, the pizza, that to just close your eyes and try it out. Soups down to two, because that's one of the things you give up when it gets to be 80 degrees.
Yep, we still got the corn chowder, which is a must for both some men and women, and of course the good old standard chicken noodle.
And you can carry it out. It's your chance to feed the tribe and enjoy the day.
Yep.
John, we hope people will come see you at Valentino's, 41st and Willow.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you. And on this Veterans Day Memorial Day, just say thank you today. You'll be surprised how much that means to those and their family that have served. Thank you. For now, our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk.